Good morning, Living Hope. Oh, come on. Good morning, Living Hope. It's great to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Some of you just said, well, that was half the energy I saved up for today. Just use it. Well, if you're going to use it anywhere, use it in church, right? And he'll bless you with more. Amen. Well, as some of you may know, we are coming up to Yom Kippur, and it is the holiest day on the Jewish calendar. It occurs 10 days after Rosh Hashanah, and which is the Jewish New Year. And all believers need to remember Yom Kippur. See, a lot of times when we look at Scripture, we always think that, okay, well, if it's Old Testament, then that was really like for back then, and maybe that's just for the Jewish people, and we're New Testament. But, you know, Jesus referenced the Old Testament all the time. And the Word of God and the Scripture tells us that there are certain festivals that we are to remember forever. And if we have been grafted in, then guess what? We're called to remember. And it's in this remembering that we get a deeper understanding of our faith today. Amen? So Rosh Hashanah is a festival holiday. It's celebrated with eating of apples and honey, and it's sweet, and it's good. It's the start of the new year. But however, the week after that is a time of reflection, of atonement, and ultimately forgiveness. In the weeks preceding Yom Kippur, we ask for forgiveness from God, and we ask for forgiveness among each other. You know, we did the Bible study for, it was almost 5 years to do all of Hebrews in depth, and we come to realize that I just had a brain cramp. It'll come back to me. So I'll move on. Historically, God has honored on the Day of Atonement by focusing and reflecting on our relationships. Oh, now I remember. That came to me. You see, the writer of Hebrews was trying to tell the Jewish believers of that day that their lamb, their Savior, the sacrificial lamb, the one final, was found in Jesus Christ. For if you know that the Jewish people would always make sacrifices, if you wrong somebody, you needed to make a sacrifice, you need to make it right. The Bible says that if you have an offering that you're bringing to the temple, but you have aught with your brother, leave your offering on the stairs of the temple and go make it right. You see, even though a Jewish person comes to the temple and gives an offering, when they come to this time, this year of the Day of Atonement, in their mind, they're still thinking, did I miss anything? Is there something that I didn't give a sacrifice for? Is there something that I did that was against God's word that I just can't remember it? So there's never the peace that comes with truly knowing you've been forgiven. So the writer of Hebrews tells us that peace that you so desire is found in Christ. He is the one and only sacrificial lamb. Whew, I don't know about you, but I just get like goosebumps. I just love when the word just like, do you get it? In Mark 11:25, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. The Lord grants us forgiveness through the blood of Christ. Yeshua taught about forgiveness, which the Apostle Paul shares to others. He says in Matthew 6:14-15, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Get the next line, though. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. Do you understand that? If you will not forgive, you will not be forgiven. Scripture. I had people leave the church because they said, well, you know, maybe you're just reading it wrong. Well, maybe you just don't get as many blessings when you get to heaven. That's all what it says. Luke 17, 3 and 4. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times a day, and seven times a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Luke 17. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Jesus spoke about forgiveness many times to his early followers, and his teachings is still applicable today. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you as we come this morning to search your word. Again, we do not look for information, but Father God, we look for revelation. Revelation that will bring transformation of our heart. May we choose that all that we say and do be the Father's will and bring glory to the name of Jesus. In that mighty name we pray. Amen. Throughout each season of the year, the biblical holidays hold a variety of purposes. And this is one of the things where, you know, it's great to have our Gregorian calendar and we have all these little holidays that are all thrown in there, and some of them we even wonder why they're in there, you know. Is St. Patrick's Day really to go down to the pub and wear green? You know, I mean, if you did some research, you actually find out that St. Patrick was a pretty faithful person, you know. But if we tune our minds to a biblical calendar, we may, in essence, get a deeper understanding of our own faith. Many of the holidays that are found in the biblical calendar have purposes in them, and there's symbols, and they're associated with certain things. Yom Kippur, for instance, has three common symbols which all tie not only to the holiday itself, but a theme throughout all of the scripture. These include white, worn on Yom Kippur. White symbolizes purification and dying to self. There's the shofar, announces the end of Yom Kippur with a long blast, one big long. Yeah. And the Torah, which is God's word, portions are read during Yom Kippur. God's command to observe Yom Kippur is also found in the scriptures. So I'll just give you a quick synopsis of each of those so that we get an understanding, because I know that if we think about Jesus and we think about what he did and we think about what took place, all of this starts to come to have a little bit deeper type of meaning. White. It says in Isaiah 1:18, is one of the main reasons why people wear white on Yom Kippur. It says this, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Through your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You see, because Yom Kippur is focused on seeking the forgiveness of sin and finding atonement and redemption, the desire for changing scarlet, which is red, to white is displayed. It's displayed in their garments. Some individuals will even wear what's called a kittel. A kittel is a white type of clothing. It's kind of like a little bit of a robe. It comes down to about here, and it's what you would be buried in. It is pure white. And this white robe resembles a shroud for burying the dead. in order to show their wish to bury fleshly desires. So they'll wear the white because they want to remind themselves that they want to be pure before the Lord. For us believers, this reminds us of the sacrifice of Jesus and our atonement through him, that in him, our scarlet sins are white. They are no more. The shofar, one of the most literal reasons for the shofar, is a symbol of Yom Kippur, is that long, piercing, blasting sound at the end of Yom Kippur. So when I was growing up, there was no sounds during the 10 days because it was a time of retrospect. Some of the things that they would do is you wouldn't work. Some people would fast. They wouldn't be playing games. Modern days is no electronics. It's a time where we're supposed to be in prayer, being retrospect to ourselves as to how are we walking with the Lord. Because you know what? We could be so busy, we could convince ourselves, hey, I'm good. I'm good. That was part of last week's message, right? I'm good. I went to church. I'm good. I know about Jesus. Hey, I did a devotional, I think it was 2 weeks ago. This time of stepping out of the craziness gives them a time, gives us a time to be able to reflect. That's the word I was looking for. To find a deeper meaning for believers is tied to the fact that the shofars are made from the horns of innocent creatures. Innocent blood. Do you see how we're connecting this? Innocent blood not only cleanses but separates the pure from the impure. The blood. One example of the power of the innocent blood is the Passover lamb. And we've had the Passover Seder here many times. And to understand that the blood of a non-blemished, innocent lamb is slaughtered. And that blood was put on the doorposts so the angel of death would pass by and no one would lose their firstborn unless they didn't do that. You see, moving on. The Lord just downloading into my brain right now. Those who spread the innocent blood on the doorpost had their firstborn speared. You know, Pharaoh, his firstborn died. Do you know why? Because Pharaoh thought he was God. And it was a demonstration that one who claimed to be a God couldn't save his own son. The innocent lamb's blood separated those who were in alignment with God. They were pure and obedient from those who were not, those who were impure, those who were not obedient. And I want to tell you that when we accept the blood of Christ, we have to understand that there's an alignment. You know, I just don't want to talk out of turn, but my heart was broken yesterday at that event that took place at the Capitol. Things that were being prayed that were not scriptural, things that were being pronounced that were not scriptural, and when people are not walking in alignment with God and then expect him to do what they tell him to do. You see, some of us, they see one of the things that just bothered me. I digress, but this is on my spirit right now, and I'll probably talk about it in my next week's message because I got that one almost done. It was said God hears all our prayers. So just let everybody pray. And I thought to myself, my scripture said God hears the prayers of the righteous. So What was being said was, you don't have to be righteous, just pray, and praying will do it, and God will hear you and do what you tell him to do. And I'm thinking, that's not what Scripture says. God doesn't hear our prayers. He doesn't move on everybody's. Some of us pray, and we go, well, why isn't God answering my prayer? The answer is, maybe you're not repentant. Maybe you're not walking righteously. And I didn't say perfect. I just said righteous, okay? And that's why God doesn't hear the prayers. We have people that are praying, oh, may there be unity in the body and the blood, and yet they have disunity. How do you do that? See, I'm only getting all, because that was in James chapter 2 last night, right? It says, how could you with one face be praising God and then in another face speak ill of your brother if Christ who lives within you? Sorry. Now you know why my wife and I have to take long drives together, because this is all we talk about. It's just, Where are we? Okay. I'll find us. Innocent blood removes, restores, and cleanses. Okay? It tells God who we serve. Him through the blood of Yeshua or the enemy. That's it. Cut and dry. Shofars represent innocent blood speaking out. And the sound that emanates from the horn of an innocent creature cleanses the air. So when you hear, bam, that sound is cleansing the air. Boom! Shattering those things that are in there, shattering the strongholds. Removes the past and brings hope of restoration in God. The other thing about Yom Kippur is an important symbol is the Torah. Because of its prominent display during the last service of the Holy Day, they read a lot of scripture. And it's meant to act as a reminder of why we are there at Yom Kippur, to repent and to seal ourselves, our family, our community, and our country in God's book of life. Yet this is not one reason the Torah is symbolized. It's also because the command to repent was given by God's word. And it is his word that promises hope and forgiveness. And it's his word that gives us life. This is a living, breathing. This is not just pages in ink. I read this and then I reread it and I go, oh my Lord, you just opened my eyes to something else. God's word is beautiful, connection to his heart. And that's why the Torah is read at Yom Kippur. Now, scripture is read throughout the year in the Jewish faith. But at this point in time, especially last day, there's a lot of reading. I mean, a lot of reading of scripture, Old Testament scripture. And it really gets you to the point where you're thinking, okay, all right, I got it already. But then when you're saying it, you're going, ooh, maybe I didn't get it already. It's that deep. It's that penetrating. As we read, it just draws us closer to God and to help us understand the weight of what has been done against God in the past year. It's meant to remind us that it's God's goodness that leads us to repentance. It's not to condemn us. It's to save us. 10 days before Yom Kippur is Rosh Hashanah, in the biblical New Year, our awakening blast. And when we reach Yom Kippur, we have just entered a new year in God. Now, I said this last week. We should be really excited. Because, you see, if we go by the biblical calendar, our new year just happened last week. The Gregorian calendar, the world's calendar, new year happens in 3 months. Do you understand what that just did? It opens up for you in the door of the Spirit to proclaim all the things and promises of God before the world catches up. Have you ever wanted to run a race and then started before the others did? I used to do that to my kids all the time. So you want to race with Dad? Okay, ready? All right, why don't you go stand over there? And when they turned around to go to their spots, and I was already running. Oh, no, that's not fair! And I was like, yes, it is. That's what you have right now in the new year. You have 3 months to proclaim the goodness of God in your life, your family's life, your neighborhood, your circles of influence. Gives us a time and a season to shake off the old and go higher into God through repentance and returning to Him. This is a vital preparation for our calling and relationship with God, because also for the final feast, which is about to come up after that, which is called Sukkot. And this is where we find ourselves abiding in God. This is a place where we are with Him. So each of these feasts holds important. God has placed them in order. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot. For just that reason. And we have to be awakened to the idea that we are shifting into something new. Do you understand, church, that we're shifting into something new? Have you ever wanted a redo? Have you ever wanted to start over again? This is the season, and more so than any time in the world right now, because this awakening is not a regional. It's not a Zuzu Street. It's not down in the Georgia where they have the. This is a great awakening in the world. In the world. You know why God's waiting? Because we're not ready for a billion soul revival. That's what they're saying is going to happen. A billion soul revival. What church are we going to put them in to get fed? Ones that are preaching not God's word? Church got to wake up. We got to get ready. And especially all you Octarians, 80 and above. God's not done with you. Don't put your card in and take a nap. We need you. We need you to speak the truth. We need you to be an example to the young people. Being a believer does not make these feasts less important. In fact, the knowledge of the blood of Jesus, these feasts become so much more. In Acts 17, it says, the times of ignorance God overlooked, but now He commands all people everywhere to repent. What people? All. I looked it up in the Greek, and that means all. It means every one of us. The Bible teaches that actual conversion cannot take place without repentance. Jesus taught, no, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Jesus' words, not mine. Want to know the reference? Luke 13, verse 3. John the Baptist came preaching repentance. In fact, you know the first message that John the Baptist ever preached was repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Do you know what the first, and so here's John the Baptist. He's like the first guy, right? He hands off this, you know those races where you got the baton? You know what I'm saying? Like you run and then like you hand it off. So who's the next one to take it? Jesus, right? And what is the first thing out of Jesus' mouth? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. After Jesus, who got the baton? You got it, Peter. And what was the first message from Peter? Repent! I think there's a theme here. Matthew 3, 1 and 2. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 4, 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Prior to returning to heaven, Jesus reminded his disciples, Luke 24, 47, and that repentance and forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed to his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Acts 17:30, The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. You notice that sounds really inclusive there? 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises. Some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Oh my gosh, this is so good. Jesus felt it necessary for repentance to be preached in every nation. The need for repentance is universal. Do you know why? Because sin is universal. Sin is universal. Sin has touched every human life, and it entered the world through the fall of Adam. Romans 5:12. Therefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That's our reward, death. Okay? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You're not going to believe this, but that all in there is the same Greek word from the other verse I just told you about, which means all. Just in case you weren't sure if I studied it out in the Greek. It is written, therefore, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:10. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, repentance comes when we confess our sins. True confession is when we say the same thing about our sin that God says about it. I'll give you an example. Have you ever seen, and of course it's nobody here that's ever done this, but have you ever seen somebody say, oh, look at so-and-so. I can't believe they're doing that. They're sinning. They're doing against God's word. And they'll say that. And yet, they have a similar issue in their life, and they just say, well, that's just my little problem. God understands. Have you ever heard somebody justify it? That person's sinning, but me, I'm just, you know, God understands. I have a little problem. No. We get on the right side when we realize sin is sin. It doesn't matter if it's little or if it's big. It doesn't matter if you stole a pencil or you killed somebody. And guess what? Christ came for every sin. Every sin. He came for the sin of thievery. He came for the sin of homosexuality. He came for the sin of murder. He came for sin is sin. Do you know what man did? Man said, well, this is a little sin, and this is a big sin. Oh, this is a white lie. This is a black lie. What the heck? That's not in here. Do you know that's not in here? Sin is sin. Like it doesn't matter, big or little. Repentance is not just a calling out to God. Repentance is not just a falling on our faces before God and asking for forgiveness. Repentance is not a pool full of our tears. Repentance is defined as an inward change of attitude leading to an outward change of action. You could tell me you're sorry all you want. I'll forgive you. But you know what? I'll know if you're really sorry by the fruit of the tree. What are you producing? What are you saying? What are you doing? Right? I mean, because it's evident. So it's an inward change of attitude leading to an outward change of action. Unless both of these occur, I hate to tell you, but repentance didn't take place. Repentance is an important step in the plan of salvation. And it's the next step, immediately following believing. So once we believe, the next step is to ask for repentance, is to ask for forgiveness. Now that we have been enlightened and we understand the walk that we took was not righteous, we should be repenting. The man takes moving towards God, asking for forgiveness. Peter said, repent and then be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So in other words, we got salvation, right? We got repenting. Then we have getting baptized and then baptism of the Holy Spirit. Is it scripture? It tells us the order. Repent, therefore, and turn again, and your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Acts 3:19. What did it say comes from the Lord? Refreshing. Any of you not feel refreshed? Don't look at me. I'm not reading your meal. I'm just telling you that the Word of God says that refreshing comes through repentance. Refreshing comes through the Lord. Being baptized by the Lord, being baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's where the refreshing comes. God said that I'll send you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the comforter. If you're not comforted, are you embracing the presence of the Holy Spirit? Or have you never asked the Holy Spirit? Have you never asked Jesus to be part of your life? Have you never been baptized, submerged in the water? If you haven't, come and see me. Let's get it done. Let's do it. Paul says that we must turn from God in repentance. Repentance involves turning from sin to the Lord. Many times people say, well, I don't feel the Lord. Where is he? Most of the times because we're walking in sin. We're walking in my way, doing my thing. And God says, if you keep doing the things of the world, it leads to death. Repent of that mindset. Repent of those behaviors. Turn around. That's what repent means, 180-degree turnaround. And now walk to the Lord. And you know what? When you turn around and you walk to the Lord, I will promise you, he's standing there like this. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Well, he might not do it that way, but I can't. He jokes with me because I see it there. Come on, you can do it. Come on, come on. And we need the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. Do you know that the Holy Spirit is the power that God gives you not to sin? If you're not embracing a true understanding of the person of the Holy Spirit, some people call it the Holy Ghost. I like them both. If we're not embracing that, then the battle that you are facing out there is you and you alone. Like the Holy Spirit's like your big brother. And the bully comes out of the bushes to beat you up. And your big brother says, don't you worry, I got this. Or your big brother stands there behind you like this, and they're just like, well, okay, we'll see you later, man, bye. You wouldn't have to fight half the battles that you fight if you embrace the Holy Spirit. Amen? Here's an important principle. What men are taught determines what they believe. What they believe determines what they do. What they do determines their destiny. Isaiah 55:7 says, let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. He's talking about you and me. Ezekiel 18:21. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed and keep all my statutes and do not that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live and not die. Oh, Donna, you mean I got to keep his statutes to get the blessing? Proverbs 28:18. Whoso walketh upright shall be saved, and he that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once. I'm not worried about the wicked. They're going down. They're going down. The sad part is some of the people that we thought were righteous are wicked. And God says, don't put your hope in man. Put your hope in him. Don't put your hope in Pastor Steve. Put your hope in Jesus. Do you understand? The world has taken a very big turn over the last couple of thousand years because they've allowed a man to steer the Holy Spirit. They've allowed a man to put you to sleep instead of you hearing from the voice of God through his word. After you're born again, there will likely be times of failure. Yeah, we make mistakes, okay? But as Christians, we endeavor to live above sin. But occasionally we fail. And at those moments, we need to repent. 1 John 2, 1 through 2. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Jesus is our lawyer. When Satan tells you, you did this, this, and this, you can say, yep, Satan, you know, you're right. But I confessed it, and it's covered by the blood of Jesus. And if you have a problem with that, take it up with my lawyer. You don't even have to get into conversation over it. Because he wants to get in your head and mess with you. Send him to your lawyer. Talk to Jesus. So let me ask you in closing this morning. Where are you this morning with repentance? As Yom Kippur approaches, have we asked for forgiveness from those that we've hurt? Have we made amends? Have we righted the wrongs and forgiven each other? Have you crushed the life out of your mate or your children? Has your attitude of encouragement been placed with an attitude of sarcasm? Has your attitude of hope been replaced with hopelessness? Has joy of life been replaced with survival mode? Take a moment and let the Holy Spirit open your hearts this morning to those you need to ask forgiveness from. Just take a second. For those of you who are watching, take a second. Who is it that the Holy Spirit is bringing up in your spirit right now that you need to ask forgiveness? Those today that you will need to meet or call, and if they've already passed, I would suggest you do it in prayer. Ask for their forgiveness to humble yourself and repent. And where are you this morning with your relationship with God? Are you ready to begin a blessed new year? Have you humbly come before God and repented of your sins? Sins for wanting your way and not his way. Sins of anger, greed, resentfulness. Sins of complaining, not being valued, or accusing God for forgetting us and not caring. Sins of apathy, bitterness, or hopelessness. Sins of not using your gifts and talents for the Lord. Not spending time with the Lord. Not reading his word. This morning, I want to give you the chance to come to the altar and on this Day of Atonement to set it right. To set it right. I'm not going to ask, but only one time. And I know some of you are not able to get out of your chair, then, you know, in the present. But if you're able to get out of your chair, come before the Lord and ask for the forgiveness. It's not me. I'm not the one that grants you the forgiveness. Will you humble yourself and come before the throne of God in a declaration of you desiring to be cleansed? Before the throne of God, to humbly come before the Lord and to truly repent of those things in our life that has not honored Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. To recommit our lives to King Jesus. To recommit our purposes and plans to our Lord. To bow before our Creator and ask for forgiveness and repentance. Would you come to the altar? If you want to stand, you can stand. If you want to bow, if you want to kneel. And I'm just going to pray a prayer right now over each and every one of us. We bow our heads. Lord, we come before you this morning humbled. We come and we ask your forgiveness for our sins and to repent from our old ways. We thank you, Lord God, that your word in Micah 7:19 says that when we ask for forgiveness and repent and have a true change of heart, that you will turn again and you will have compassion upon us, that you will subdue our iniquities, and that you will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. This morning, we thank you that it is written, if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We repent and thank you, Lord, that you remove our sins as far as the east is from the west. We thank you that through the fall feast, we have been awakened to the idea that we are shifting into something new. We have been cleansed and we can dwell with you, Lord God, and accept our new mantles, plans, and promotion for the year. And that we can abide with you, Lord God, so that we can have the strength and peace to answer your call. Thank you, our God and God of our fathers, that you forgive all our sins, pardon all our iniquities, and grant atonement for all our transgressions through Yeshua the Messiah. And in that name, we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, real quick, we were talking earlier about the blood. And I like to make a declaration. I want to show you how you need to be praying the blood over your family. Remember when Jeannie was talking? The demonic can't get through the blood barrier. But if we're not claiming the blood, if we're not laying out the boundaries with the blood of Christ, then Satan can have his way. So I want to make a declaration. If you'll just repeat this with me, and then we'll be done. Father God, in the name of Yeshua, I come and plead and apply the blood of Jesus over me. And Father God, in the name of Yeshua, before I go in and even put on the full armor of God to pray, I apply the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus over my life, over my past life, over my existing life, and even over my future life, that no wage of sin can be applied to my life in Yeshua's name. Nothing can cancel and nothing can contend. When I go into the courts of heaven this day to plead and apply and speak the word of God, the enemy, Satan, cannot use past sins or current sins against me to rob, steal, or more importantly, delay. I apply and plead the blood of Jesus over every delayed spirit, over every robbery spirit, the blood of Jesus over even health stealing spirits, relationship stealing spirits. Father God, in the name of Yeshua, I thank you for the blood that washes me whiter than snow, that prepares me to put on the whole armor of God, that anoints me with the ability to be able to apply it to my life and my prayer life and get results. In Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 The day of atonement. To be cleansed. To be cleansed. so that we can step into all that he has for us. Amen. Amen.